Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith back with you guys again, and yes, don't let the notifications on your phone fool you. This is two episodes coming at you in 2 days. Don't call it a comeback, but I'm happy to be back. I mean, like I said yesterday, I'm stoked. You know, I just kind of wanted to, after taking 4 weeks of not giving you guys any golf content, I'm highly motivated to give you guys a ton of golf content. So, over the course of that time, I kind of did a lot of thinking about golf and my game and the podcast and you guys, and kind of thinking about what direction I wanted to take things and how I wanted to continue executing things going forward. So, I decided that kind of coming off a couple of episodes there where I gave you guys a full profile of 18 holes of a couple of my favorite courses, and they ran an hour, like I referenced. And an hour is a long time for a podcast. It's a long time for me to talk, and it's a long time for me to ask you guys to listen to me talk. So with that kind of came the idea and the concept of me dishing some kind of Michigan golf mini-series stuff, and what's that going to entail? And I honestly have not super duper thought that out yet. And that's kind of the beauty of the way that I do this. I try and keep it as organic as possible. And as things come to me, I try to deliver them to you. If it's golf related, I love talking about it. And so I figured I can expand beyond just profiling golf courses and giving you guys a super long podcast to listen to. And if you've got a super long commute, awesome. I'm sure a long podcast does kind of helps you get through that. But I also want to dish you guys some quick listens. And so what I want to do today is start there and kind of tell you guys about a little bit of the journey I've been on in search for the perfect putter. And if you follow me on social media, I'm sure you've seen my Instagram at gsmithgolf. I have had a couple of putters, to say the least, in the last 4 to 6 weeks time. And so I kind of figured I'd jump on, tell you guys about that, about kind of my putting, my perspective on putting, and what I look for in a flat stick. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, that's where you're going to shave strokes and kind of pick the, I mean, if you're looking to break 100, break 90, break 80, you're going to do it on the greens. This is where you're going to have the opportunity to shave the most strokes off your game in the most efficient way. And in order to do that, having a putter that you love is a big part of it. It's, and I'll tell you guys more about that right now or in a minute, but I don't want to dive into that just yet, because before I do, you guys know the drill. Let's grab a quick ad and then we come back. Then I'm going to drive home some of the details around putting and how I kind of navigate it, and maybe how I could help you guys improve your game. So again, hang tight, quick ad, be right back, and we'll talk flat stick. Awesome, guys. Thanks, as always, for grinding it out through the ad. And now let's get to talking putters. So, where do I want to begin? If you guys have been tuning into the Michigan Golf Podcast for a while, I can't tell you how long ago it was, but I did kind of a brief what's in the bag overview. And if I'm not mistaken, I talked very highly of the putter that I had in my bag. And so, as I talk through this episode and kind of talk you guys through my putting, my putter, or putters for that matter at the present moment, I've got a strong feeling, a sneaky suspicion that I'm going to be eating my words on more than one occasion. So if you tune into that What's in the Bag episode way back when, I talked about the current flat stick that I had being the TaylorMade TP Mullen. And it might have been the Mullen 2. I can't remember. And either way, it was my trusty flat stick for the 2.5 years, if I'm not mistaken, 2 full seasons at least. But it's kind of, it let me down. And I mean, you guys know golf, and you guys know how golfers are, and I'm no exception to the rule. When you're playing this darn finicky game, if things aren't going well, what are we going to blame? Are we going to blame our equipment, or are we going to blame ourselves? And yeah, I blame my equipment. So 6 weeks or so ago, if you guys tuned into the episode where I talked about the city championship at Watermark Country Club, I had so many three putts. It was unreal. And again, if you tune into another episode earlier in the season, I'm kind of throwing it back a bit too, where I talked about the City Stroke Play Championship last year. I shot a couple of mid-80s rounds, threw a little fit about it, and listed all my clubs on eBay and sold everything. So I kind of had flashes of 2019, at least not in the full bag capacity and all that nonsense, but with the putter. And so even though this Mullen putter had been my trusty go-to flat stick for a while, I felt like there's room to improve. And putting is such a kind of subjective area of the game. And I say that because, I mean, putting is so much more feel-based than the full swing and than any other aspect of the game. There's so many different ways to hold a putter. There's so many different styles of putter. There's so many different ways to address the ball. It's like putting, what's the ultimate goal of putting? It is to put the ball in the cup. And however you do that best is what's best for you. It's simple as that. And so I could sit here and dish fundamentals like posture, alignment, grip, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, if you want to make more putts, you got to find out what works best for you and commit to that and go from there. And I don't just mean that fundamentally speaking, but I also mean that equipment wise too. And so coming off the City Stroke Play earlier this summer, shoot, back in August, not even that long ago, I had just a boatload of three putts, and I thought to myself, yeah, it's probably me, because the Mullen was trusty for a long time. But at the same time, I thought, you know what, as I alluded to in previous episodes, I'm looking to take full advantage of technology and fully optimize the equipment that's going to be best for me and my game moving forward. That's what kind of my side goal, objective was for this year, was if nothing else, competition was weird. Obviously, tournaments got canceled, tournaments got postponed. COVID did some strange things in the competitive golf world, that, let alone in every other aspect of life in this world as well. But it threw me off my routine and my rhythm in the competitive golf space. And so I thought, you know what, let's take this year and let's take advantage of it in other ways. Let's see what else we can do. And part of that was optimizing equipment. And so I thought to myself, I want to make more putts. Who doesn't want to make more putts? I mean, we're all looking to do something like to better our game, break 100, break 90, break 80. And the flat stick is where that's at. And I want to break 70. I'm sure a lot of you guys out there want to do that too. And so the better you get at the game of golf, the more important good, consistent quality putting is. And so that's what I'm on the search for, and that search has led me into in a lot of different directions in a lot of different ways. And so I gotta think I talked about it a few episodes ago, but if you guys, again, if you follow me on social media, on Instagram at gsmithgolf, you will have seen that I posted some pictures, some video of the TaylorMade Spider Mini, and that was the first putter I picked up after abandoning the Mullen. And I held on to the Mullen for a minute, but I'll expand on that momentarily, because I obviously it was my go-to, it was my baby, and it treated me well for a while, so I wasn't in a super big hurry to get rid of it. And so I picked up the TaylorMade Spider Mini as an alternative. And to kind of rewind a bit and kind of go back in time, we're going to go back a decade or more to high school, college. I'd always been a blade putter guy. I always had a Scotty Cameron Newport 2 or something of the like. I think I had a Newport 2.5 for a little while, which is just a little bit of a different shaft, kind of shaft-to-head connection, half offset versus full offset or L-neck. And let's kind of talk about that for a second. Putters, obviously, tons of different styles. You've got blades, you've got mallets, and realistically, you kind of even have a bit of a middle ground with kind of the half mallet design, where you have kind of a blade look or weighting to it, but you have a little bit of additional forgiveness in a mallet putter, and that's what a mallet's all about. Mallets are going to give you that kind of high MOI, that high moment of inertia, more stability. They're going to give you a little extra weight and just things to kind of try and help benefit you as a golfer in making a more consistent stroke, kind of achieving a more consistent strike pattern. And at the end of the day, the goal is to, when you hit putts, you want to roll them down your intended line, and putters technology is going to help you do that. And But there's more beyond it than just technology, because not everybody can take advantage of all the same stuff. So me being a blade putter in the days of old, I've always felt like blade putters, for me, that's how I'm going to most confidently and comfortably roll in putts from longer range. And when I speak about longer range, I'm talking those 12, 15, 18 footers, the ones that you want to make. Those are the ones that are going to shave strokes off your score. They're going to be additional birdies. I mean, shoot, if you miss a green and or end up having to take a penalty stroke, if you hit it in the hazard off a tee and you're on in three, if you can pour in some 12, 15, 18 footers, you're going to put more birdies on your card. You're going to save more pars. And I mean, shoot, if things really escalate, then if you can knock those down for bogey, that's even bigger. But blade putters for me are always kind of that, they held that little sweet spot for me. And I felt very, very comfortable and confident that I could roll an aggressive putt on an aggressive line with the intent of making it. However, I used to struggle all the time with short range putts, the 3 footers, the 4 footers, those ones that are kind of, you know, the Y word. I'm not going to use it. It's one of the dirty 4-letter words in golf that we all know and we all hate, and nobody wants to struggle with the YIPS. And so I try and avoid that word like the plague. And so back in the day, I struggled with that in high school. And so at the time I had the Newport 2, I tinkered around. That's when I kind of transitioned from, and I've always done, I've never been fitted. Again, kind of going back to putting being all feel-based and predominantly kind of that being the importance for me anyway. I've never gone and like gotten on a putting anything. So everything I've done has been purely based on feel and what works best for me to, again, put the ball in the hole. So I went from a 35-inch putter to a 34-inch putter between my senior year of college and my freshman year of high school. And that helped tremendously. I also added a bigger grip. I used to be one of those Tiger Woods wannabes that had the Scotty Cameron putter with the blacked out pin grip. And because, yeah, shoot, when you got a guy like T-Dub back then, and I mean, that guy just, he transcends the game of golf. What can you say? I mean, whatever Tiger plays, you want to play. And yeah, I had a full bag of Nike equipment. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I was a big Tiger fan. And yeah, I had the Newport too with the blacked out pin grip. But at the end of the day, what's right for one guy is not right for every guy. And so over time, I've kind of learned that. I've adopted that. And I'm like, you know what? This day and age in particular, there's so much technology out there. And there's so much opportunity to say, hey, what is going to be best for my game? How am I going to improve? How am I going to be the best golfer that I can be? And so that's what led me on my search. And so kind of fast forward to the present day. I obviously, a handful of years ago, switched from a blade putter to the TP Mullen, which is kind of that, as I would kind of classify it, as a half mallet design. My goal was to improve consistency. I felt like I needed something that was going to not just help me make putts, but just help me minimize the mistakes, minimize 3 putts, minimize missing my line, minimize poor speed control, things like that. So introducing the TaylorMade TP Mullen and the half mallet design, where I can kind of expand on not only my feel and my intention of rolling a good strong putt and making it, but also kind of have something there that's going to give me a little bit of more stability, a little more control on long range putts and minimize 3 putt potential. And so after 3 putting a bajillion quadrillion times at Watermark Country Club back in August, I thought, you know what, let's take the time and let's explore some alternatives. That was the last competitive event of the season I had of kind of true individual competition. So I took the opportunity to say, hey, what's good in the game of golf right now? And I am, obviously, as you guys know, you tune in enough, I'm a self-proclaimed TaylorMade brand ambassador. So where do you think I started? TaylorMade, of course. And what TaylorMade putter is the most popular putter on probably any worldwide tour or potentially any amateur golf experience that you will have is the TaylorMade Spider. And what are we, 10 years deep into the Spider line? Yeah, every bit of 10 years deep. And so there have been so many iterations of the Spider. the original. They've had the Spider Tour, they've had the Spider Mini, they have now the Spider X, and gosh, I'm not a Spider loyalist by any stretch, so there's probably about another half a dozen renditions that I'm missing, but either way, it's been hugely popular, and you watch the PGA Tour. I mean, whether it's Matt Wolff, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, I mean, if there's a guy, a TaylorMade rep out there on tour playing, and obviously one of those, you can almost guarantee that one of those guys is at or near the lead on any given weekend, you're going to see them rolling a TaylorMade Spider putter of some sort. And so Wolf and McIlroy and DJ, Spider X, DJ kind of goes back and forth a bit with the Spider Tour. Jay Day rolls the Spider Tour quite a bit. For a bit there, DJ had the Spider Mini in the bag, I think maybe mid last year. He probably tinkers the most out of anybody from what I've seen. But so I was like, you know what? There's got to be something to this, this high stability mallet concept. So let's give it a shake. So what do? I order a Spider Mini. And not only did I order a Spider Mini, but I sold my buddy Paul, who's obviously been on the pod a number of times, I sold him on the Spider Mini. And so we both decided to try something new. He's gone from a blade putter to that kind of mini mallet design. And it's been a cool putter. I got it, and I ordered the copper one, with kind of the traditional heel shaft, not face balance, but so toe hang. So let's talk about that for a hot sec. Toe hang in putters. And so full blade putters, as you guys know, if you're kind of more of a purist or traditionalist, that's kind of what a lot of people have in their bags. And those putters, if you were to balance that putter on your finger or on a table or any flat surface whatsoever and have that head hanging off, you're going to have what you see is toe hang. That toe is going to hang on a downward angle, and from a blade putter, you're going to be looking at 40 to 45 degrees, roughly, depending on weight distribution and kind of how the head and shaft are connected. But that's ballpark. So as you make a putting stroke, you're going to have that putter. It's going to open on the way back. It's going to return to square and close on the way through. You're going to have that face rotation, and that's part of the design. And that's how most people putt. Most people putt on an arc. And that toe hang and that face rotation is designed to mimic that arc. And so it works for some guys. It works for probably a lot of guys. And then on the complete polar opposite, you're going to have the face balanced putters. And mallets are predominantly face balanced. You get the Spider X that is either maybe, I've seen center shafted models. And not even, let's leave TaylorMade out of this. Any mallet putter that's center shafted or has either a single bend or a double bend shaft, you're going to get that face pointing. If you put that on a level surface or balance it on your finger, that face is going to point straight to the sky. And what does that do for you? So when putting with a face balance putter, that's going to favor the guy that's more straight back, straight through. And I mean, it's so dependent upon you as the golfer. What works best for you? Because for me, I've tinkered with face balance putters. I used to have one back in high school. That was kind of my first TaylorMade experience. It was with the TaylorMade Rosa Monza Corza, and yeah, that's a mouthful. And if you Google it, you're gonna get this wonky looking, kind of hollow headed mallet with the TaylorMade insert. I had the center shafted model, and it was cool. That's kind of where I first got introduced to TaylorMade's putter insert technology, and what's now kind of become the be known as pure roll technology. And it's good stuff. I love it. And I'm not saying that just because I use it. I'm saying it because compared to my old Scotty Cameron that I used to use, which would kind of bounce and skid and then roll, that TaylorMade putter insert got the ball rolling right off the face, which really gives it a nice true roll and helps it hold its line better. So it's hugely beneficial. But that aside, I mean, mallets these days now, technology has changed and people have designed things to fit more of the kind of the broad spectrum and give golfers more of an opportunity to pick and choose what they want to, one, look down at, one, feel the weight of, and again, kind of what fits their stroke the best. So you will find mallets that do have toe hang. The Spider Mini kind of falls right in the middle there, as a lot of kind of mid mallets do. You're not going to get that full toe hang of 45 degrees like you get out of a blade, but you're also not going to get face balance pointing straight to the sky. So my Spider Mini has roughly 32 or 33 degrees of toe hang, which again helps that putter face kind of open a little bit on the way back, return to square, and then release. And I'm finding that to be kind of my best fit, personally. I think blades are a little too, for my stroke and kind of for what I want to achieve on the greens, it kind of, there's a little much too much variability there. And so I'm finding the Spider Mini to be a really, really good fit for now. But just because I ordered a Spider Mini and put that in the bag and gave it a shot, doesn't mean I'm going to stop there. So what do I do? Of course, you see the guys on tour and the hugely popular TaylorMade Spider Axe. And so let's explore the Spider line a bit. Kind of all throughout the last 10 years, I've always picked them up and I've always seen them in golf shops and kind of messing around with them, putting on the carpet, putting on the practice greens. And dude, they've just always been too big. They've always been so big. It feels like I'm got a frying pan on the end of a shaft down there. And it's like, for me, mallet putters have always been kind of, I just kind of highlighted with blade putters, I always felt like I could roll an aggressive putt on an aggressive line with the intent of making it. Mallet putters, I always felt like I was pointing the putter towards the hole, picking a line in the vicinity of the hole, and rolling putts towards the hole. I never really felt like I had that confidence and that comfort that I was going to hit the putt and make the putt. So the mallet kind of gave me a little, I don't know if you want to call it a little more kind of broad dispersion, but I just never felt like I honed in on what I needed to hone in order to make putts. And so the Spider never found its way into my bag, and I never gave it a fair shake on the practice green or on the kind of in-course competitive play. But I figured now with the popularity of the Spider Axe, let's give it a shot. Let's take a stab at this and see if the technology, I mean, because the technology is there. Shoot, it's this high MOI, high moment of inertia. Weight's all distributed to the perimeter of the putter. It's high stability. I mean, there's a lot of science there that says that this putter is going to help you make more putts. And so I bought one. I figured I bought the black. It was kind of a custom option. It was the black TaylorMade Spider Axe with the white True Path alignment system with a T shaped alignment line on top. And for me, it was, I loved a lot about it, but I didn't love some things about it. So to kind of elaborate on that, True Path alignment system is awesome. I love the contrast of the black putter head with the white True Path that was roughly, what is it, half the diameter of the golf ball, when you kind of set it up there, and then it kind of expands out the back of the putter to mimic the full diameter of the golf ball. And so when you set that Spider Axe up behind, you feel like whether it's 2 feet out, 3 feet out, 10 feet out, 30 feet out, it's a great alignment tool. The visual aid there is hugely beneficial to me. And so I felt like when I set up with that putter, I was like, this is money. I feel like I'm picking a line, and I feel like I'm lining up on that line, undoubtedly. And so that was cool, because as you get further away from the hole, it kind of, for me, it gets harder and harder to ensure that I'm setting up on the line that I'm choosing. So the Spider Axe really kind of gave me that feeling and that sense of security in that way. But it still felt too big. Even though it's a little smaller than some of the other Spider models, it just still felt like it was too big of a putter. And I just never felt like I was confidently rolling putts towards the hole with the intent to make. Again, it kind of gave me that sense that I was rolling putts towards the hole, and if they went in, they went in. If they didn't, I was hopefully going to tap in and two putt. But it just wasn't the right thing. And I ordered it. I got it in 35 inches. I did not necessarily feel 35 was my comfort zone. 34 has kind of been my sweet spot. So I tried it at 35 for a little bit. Didn't love it. Cut it down to 34. Changed the grip on it. Tried a few different things to make it better suit my stroke and my game and kind of what I look for in a flat stick. But long story short, it didn't survive. The Spider Axe, it came and it went. I think I held on to it for a matter of 2 weeks. But what I did do kind of in the interim, I had, like I said, I got the Spider Mini, used that. That's a very compact mallet design. Ordered the Spider Axe, got that. And one thing that I hate is I hate not being committed to equipment. And so I did sell that TaylorMade TP Mullen. Do I regret that now? Maybe not. To be determined. I'll kind of fill you guys in on that in a later podcast. We'll see how this putter search continues. But Mullins out of the picture. I'm down to two Spiders, Spider X, Spider Mini. One of those two is going in the bag. I tinker around with both. Both of them perform. The Mini outperforms the X from 6 feet and in. The Spider Mini is money for me. And so I can't speak highly enough. I know I've probably talked about it on previous podcasts. I cannot speak highly enough about the importance of making putts from 6 feet and in. If you can be confident from 6 feet and in, you are going to shave so many strokes off your game because you are all going to eliminate three putts. If you can make a majority of your putts from that 3, 4, 5, 6 foot circle, that's going to be huge for you. That's going to make breaking 90 an incredible possibility. It's going to make breaking 80 an incredible possibility. And it's going to make playing high quality competitive golf just immensely easier. Because those are the putts that matter. Those are the putts that are going to make the most difference in any round of golf, whether you're playing for fun, for money, whatever. And not just because they go in. If they go in, they shave strokes off your game, but they go in, they build confidence. And if you don't have confidence, you don't have anything. And I've got a little plaque actually that hangs in my office that says that I got from my uncle a long, long time ago. And that applies in all areas of life outside of the game of golf. If you don't have confidence, you really don't have anything. And so building confidence is huge. So having a putter that makes you confident in that 6 foot circle is going to be hugely beneficial. So that is what keeps the Spider Mini around for me. However, the search for putting perfection, if you can find it, continues. So I got rid of the Spider X, the black one, wasn't for me. On to the next. But I wasn't about to stop there. So I did order another Spider X. I picked up a 34 inch face balanced Spider X in the chalk white color, which was really cool. That's kind of the Matt Wolf's using the chalk white. A couple other guys I think out on tour are giving it a shot, and I liked it. It was fun. 34 inch, more of my comfort zone, more of my sweet spot. I had the Superstroke Pistol GTR 1.0 grip on it, which was exactly what I had on my Mullins. So that was comfortable for me. 34 inches was comfortable for me. Face balanced was for me. And so again, kind of going back to that face balance versus toe hang. So from 6 feet and in, face balance for me is awesome. I feel like that putter face, minimal rotation on those short putts is going to help me start the ball in line and make more of those when it counts. However, you get me back to that 12, 15, 18 foot kind of sweet spot that I want to make putts at. Those are the ones that are going to kind of change my game and help elevate my performance on the greens. With the face balanced, I found that the minute I started taking a longer stroke, that putter face would stay kind of too closed on the backstroke, and then coming into impact it would be too closed, and then on the through stroke I'd release it, traditionally kind of how I would with my blade putters and my Mullen, and which led to me missing a lot of putts left. I'd always felt like in order to start a ball online from long range with the face balance putter, I felt like I had to push putts. I felt like I had to take the putter head back to the inside and then kind of hold it coming through, and that wasn't a stroke that felt natural to me. It wasn't something that felt comfortable to me. And could I maybe have adapted? Yeah, sure. But I didn't really, if I didn't fall in love with it right away, I wasn't feeling too inclined to try to fall in love with it over time. And so, hands down, that Spider Mini has been kind of the go-to for me because it's given me that confidence on the 6 foot and in range, and it also gives me an opportunity to roll good quality putts from 12, 15, 18 feet. So the face balance Spider X held a kind of a spot in my rotation for 2 weeks-ish. So not long, but I played a lot of golf. And so the guys that play with me on a regular basis, they're probably laughing listening to this because they know I literally showed up to like every round of golf with a different putter in the bag. First it was Spider Mini, then it was a black Spider X, then it was back to the Spider Mini, and then it was a white Spider X. And Paul tried them all. He kind of tinkered around me because him and I are pretty comparable in ability and the kind of the way we view things and perceive things on the putting green. And so we kind of tinkered and we're like, hey, bounce ideas off each other. Hey, what do you like about this? What do you like about this? Where do you see this being beneficial? And And we tried different weights, we tried different lengths, I tried different grips. My Spider Mini, which I still have and is still kind of holding its spot in the bag for now, has the Superstroke Pistol GTR Tour, which is smaller than what I'm used to, but I found that to be nice. Something that I hadn't really thought about trying was going back to a smaller grip. I used to use a smaller grip back in the day, and I thought ever since I kind of moved to the Superstroke line, at first I used the 2.0, that really, really big, thick one, and then I kind of dropped her down to the 1.0 and fell in love with the pistol model that they came out with. Still love the pistol model, but just enjoying the size of the tour. So that's kind of been my thing right now. But again, just because I didn't fall in love with the Spider X, that one on to the next. And what did I do? I did something that, again, what did I reference earlier? That I was probably going to eat my words a lot through the episode here today. And when I got the Spider Mini, I told Paul, I was like, coming from the TaylorMade Mullen, going to the Mini, I flat out sat across the desk from Paul and said, hey man, I'm never going back to a blade. There are too many benefits to a mallet putter or a half mallet kind of design, mid mallet stuff, that why would I go back to a blade, man? It's crazy. And what did I do after unloading a couple of Spider X's? I picked up a TaylorMade TP Soto in the Patina collection, which is a full blade. And I did play nine holes with Paul using it, and I can't remember if he laughed at me then, but if he didn't, he's probably laughing at me now, because for a guy that said I was never going back to a blade, I put a blade in the bag, because why not? I'm trying to make more putts. We're all trying to make more putts. So the TP Soto is a sweet putter. However, I'm still very much in the tinkering phase with it. I picked it up at 35 inches with a Superstroke GTR Pistol 1.0 grip on it as well. So again, comfortable in the grip, but very, very, very different from the Spider Mini. And so the blade length of the Soto is significantly longer than the Spider, and that's taking some getting used to. The weight distribution, of course, is dramatically different, but in the first couple of rounds I played with that Soto in the bag, it's like I had that renewed sense of confidence from 12, 15, 18 feet. I really felt like I was rolling putts to make them and not just rolling them to get it close or to kind of lag it up there and two putt, because I just kind of got sick of that. So that was huge. That was sweet. But as kind of the few rounds I've played, and I think I've played, so it hasn't been substantial. 3 18 hole rounds and a niner with the Soto in the bag. And I'm finding that I'm not as comfortable, not as confident from 6 feet and in as I am with the Spider Mini. So I talked a lot early on in this podcast about inner demons and things. If I start to feel a sense of insecurity with my equipment or my technique or anything like that, and it brings back memories of the past and struggles and pains, and I'm very, very quick to abandon things that kind of bring up old inner demons. So the Spider Mini is back in the bag. After using the Soto the last couple of days, over the weekend I used it in that big hole, which who really cares about how you putt when the hole is the size of a bucket? And on top of that, I was going fourth, so I didn't have to really putt that much. So it wasn't a true reflection of my putting abilities. But then Sunday, which I also consider not a true reflection of my putting ability, we're going from a big hole event at Terra Verde to a two-man scramble at Pigeon Creek. If you've ever played in a big hole, going from putting to a bucket to putting to a regulation size cup, that cup looks like a stinking thimble out there. All of a sudden, the visual, just the back-to-back days of golf, going from one extreme to another, that hole looked so tiny on Sunday. So I attribute a lot of my putting struggles on Sunday to just visually not having a good concept of the size of the hole. And you might laugh at that, but it's true. I mean, it makes a huge difference. And it takes a little bit of time for your visuals to go back to normal. And so I was picking lines that probably weren't the best. I wasn't making the most confident strokes, but the TP Soto is still a killer putter. For me, it comes off really, really nice. It rolls well. It's hot. It's smooth off the face. And I felt like I started a lot of putts online that way. And it gives me an opportunity to make the ones I want to make. And so it's worth a shot. And I'm going to hang on to that one. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to tinker with it a little bit more. Probably going to cut it down. Maybe change the grip. I do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Probably maybe address lie angle and stuff like that a little bit too if I feel inclined. I used to bend my putters more upright because lie angle is pretty significant. If you're kind of, whether you're getting fit or whether you're quote-unquote self-fitting, lie angle is a great place to start because how that shaft sets in your hands and how that lines with your forearms is going to really dramatically improve the consistency of your stroke. So I strongly suggest if you kind of tinker with putters, look at length, look at lie angle. And obviously the two are independent, and if you change one, you're going to indirectly change the other. So if you shorten a putter, you're going to inadvertently change the lie angle. If you lengthen a putter, same deal. So be aware of that. But again, the search for more made putts continues. But for me, it's going to continue with the TaylorMade Spider Mini in the bag. And if you're a listener, and if we get out to play golf together before the snow flies here in West Michigan, if I don't have the TaylorMade Spider Mini in the bag, you have full permission to throw mad shade my way. Dog me for that, because one of the most important things to me is commitment to my equipment. And if I say on this podcast, I'm going to put the Spider Mini in the bag and I'm going to commit to that, I'm not selling the patina, the TP Soto. That, I'm going to put it in the closet, because the closet's the dark place where equipment goes to be punished. And it's a little bit too new to need full punishment, but at the same time, I need to commit. So if it's in the back of my truck, it's probably going to find its way into the bag in one way, shape, or form. And if you have two putters, how do you commit? I mean, commitment's huge. So the Spider Mini is what's right for me, and I'm kind of trying to hype myself up. You know, I think I keep repeating that because I'm trying to find that true commitment and try to find that confidence. But again, golf's an ever-changing game. Things, we're all in the kind of the pursuit of perfection, and there is no perfect way to play golf. There's no perfect anything in this stinking game, but that's why we all play it. We all play it because it's hard and because every day is different, and sometimes we're great putters, and sometimes we suck, and sometimes we're great drivers of the golf ball, and sometimes we suck. That's going to kind of lead me into my next segment. In the next episode I got coming for you guys, we're going to talk driving, because if I'm not, aside from my search for improved putting, I would love to be a good driver of the golf ball. Saturday at in the scramble at Terra Verde, I drove the ball atrociously. I hit the ball all over the planet. On Sunday, I hit the driver great. I hit bombs and was regularly, a good distance ahead of everybody I was playing with. And I even won the long drive. I told you guys that I snuck the long drive proxy out. And you know what that required? That required distance and accuracy. And I can't emphasize that enough, because I want to be an accurate driver of the golf ball. And so next episode, we're going to be talking driver technology, what's in my bag, adjustable drivers, different shafts, different flexes, different opportunities to kind of fine tune that, because that's what it's all about. I mean, get fit, but I mean, golf, again, ever changing game, your body ever changing, your movement, your motion ever changing. I mean, and so it's hard. It's hard to dial it in because none of us are tour professionals. We are not out there beating hundreds of balls a day. We are not out there playing 18 holes of golf every day. So we kind of have to adapt to the fluidity of life and the ever-changing landscape of the game of golf. And so what works today isn't going to work tomorrow, and vice versa. And so that's, again, part of the many variables that we all struggle with and kind of compete with out there trying to, again, improve our game and take our game to the next level. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Long spiel on putting. Wanted to share my search for the perfect putter with you guys. If you guys are searching for the perfect putter or anything like that, I mean, shoot me a message. Again, Instagram is the best way, at GSmithGolf. I love talking equipment. I love talking golf. You guys know that. I talk about it. You guys listen to it. So hit me up. I mean, and if you got stuff outside of the scope of TaylorMade, again, me and my self-proclaimed ambassador status, if you've got something that you think is going to benefit me, something that you love, whether it's a grip, whether it's a model of putter, whether it's a length. I mean, let's bounce some ideas off each other because we're all trying to get better here. So let's ride or die together. But other than that, thanks again for tuning in. And how about that? Two straight days of podcast content. And so I'm stoked. Like I said, back with the Michigan Golf Podcast. We'll be back soon with you guys. I've got some stuff coming up. Might jump back into a course profile just to kind of mix it up a little bit. But otherwise, again, we're going to be dipping into driver technology ASAP. So thanks again for tuning in, guys. And we'll catch up with you guys in the Michigan Golf Podcast again soon.